The Ram and Hammer Pub Recording Studio and Chocolate Lingerie Shop presents
The Scarlet Wombat.
Greetings and hallucinations. This is Dan, the Scarlet Wombat, and after musings about it and getting several requests, I thought I would do a cast on espresso. First of all, before we take the portable microphone and wander into the kitchen where all the coffee gear is located, let's talk for just a minute about what espresso is. It is, of course, a drink. It's Italian for fast, and the idea is to produce a coffee beverage in about 25 seconds. Some people mistakenly think that espresso is produced by running steam through ground coffee. No, it's actually produced by running nearly but not quite boiling water under about 10 atmospheres of pressure. That's about 150 pounds per square inch through finely ground coffee. How finely ground? Well, we'll talk about that when we get in the kitchen and actually do the work. The process was developed in the early 1900s and has come to a point where, well, I don't know if we would call it perfected or not, but it certainly produces some very, very excellent product, some very excellent espresso. Espresso is the base for not only the straight drink itself, which, by the way, is not bitter, not if made properly, is the base for just a diluted version called an Americano, which is nothing but espresso with hot water added to take it to normal coffee strength. And it's the base for such drinks as cappuccinos and lattes, and we'll talk a bit about those and demonstrate making a cappuccino here in just a few minutes as well. Why would you want to dilute espresso to regular strength to make an Americano, for example, instead of just making coffee in your press pot? Well, the main reason is because the extraction process of espresso gives you the most flavor of any way you possibly can extract flavor from coffee. Let's talk about coffee for just a moment. If all you've been exposed to is Folgers or Maxwell House, you probably think coffee all tastes pretty much the same, either bad or worse. But it's not true. Coffee grows in many parts of the world, and just as with wine, the place that coffee grows, the climate, the kind of soil, the altitude, the way that the plants are treated, so many things affect the flavor of the coffee. There is, for example, a vast difference between coffee grown in Yemen or Ethiopia from the coffee grown in Indonesia, Sumatra, Java, the Celebes Islands. And again, very great difference between those and the coffees grown in Central and South America. Most of the coffee that Americans are used to comes from Central and South America, but some of the world's finest coffees come from either Indonesia or Africa, and even some from the subcontinent of India. The making of espresso involves coffee oftentimes from several different countries blended together to get just the right flavor. You sometimes hear the term espresso beans. That actually is a bit of a misnomer because there are no beans from the country of espresso because, well, there isn't any country of espresso. An espresso roast is a dark roast, often called an Italian roast. It can vary slightly from very dark to oily. I mean, the kind of oily where you put your hand on the beans and some of them will cling to your hand because there's so much oil on them. The degree of darkness of the beans is a matter of individual taste. A lot of people want them just as dark can be. And that does tend to produce a note of bitterness. But the slightly less dark beans, the kind that I prefer, are not really bitter. Very, very strong. There's no denying that. Espresso is sort of like the pure essence of coffee, but it doesn't have to be especially bitter. The best espresso beans, or the beans to make espresso, probably would be a blend of African, South American, and Indonesian beans. A blend that would give you a good balance. The African beans give you acidity. The Indonesian beans give you the dark, earthy tones. The Central and South American beans give you a very distinct coffee flavor that sometimes has overtones of fruit and things in it. Speaking of fruit, there is a coffee bean from the Harar region of Ethiopia that if you get the beans fresh and then roast them, of course they're still going to be dried, but then you roast them, they smell like blueberries. So help me, they smell like blueberries. It's a wonderful, wonderful taste. Not a good bean for espresso, by the way, but makes marvelous coffee. Now, what we're going to do is change microphones here and mosey on into the kitchen, and I'm going to introduce you to the equipment that you need to make good espresso and to the actual process of doing so. Be warned, my equipment, because I'm a bit of a snob, I confess, is pretty much on the professional level, and you don't need that level of equipment. But there are certain minimum things you do need to make a good cup of espresso. And once you've had it, once you've had that shot that just is heard round the world, pardon me, you will see angels dancing on the ceiling. The dust mites will stand up and salute. The entire universe becomes alive and well when you have a good cup of espresso. By the way, a trivia point. You know the expression Maxwell House uses, good to the last drop? Anybody know where that came from? President Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. Yep. He was drinking a cup of coffee in about 1912, but I don't know the exact date. And he really enjoyed himself. And he said, you know, that was good to the last drop. And apparently somebody heard that, and it eventually made it into the Maxwell House slogan. Now, I don't happen to think Maxwell House is fit to drink, but I thought it was cute that they adopted Teddy Roosevelt's saying for that. So with no further ado, let's stop the recording and put a different microphone on and start up again. Okay, we are standing in front of a table here with all the various accoutrements necessary. I'm taking the lid off of the grinder right now. You always want to start with whole beans for espresso. I buy them in 5-pound bags. I vacuum pack them into canning jars. So you heard the lid come off the canning jar there. I use a scoop that is designed to be used for espresso. It's called a 7-gram scoop because a level scoop gives you about 7 grams of beans. I use a pretty fat scoop, not a level scoop at all. It's rather heaping. And I'm pouring 2 scoops of beans into the hopper of the grinder. This grinder is, well, it's sort of overkill for home, but like I said earlier, I tend to like the professional grade stuff. This is a Mazer grinder. That's a brand, and the specific model is a Super Jolly. Now, where they came up with that name, I have no idea. The consistency you want of ground espresso is like that of sugar. Not powdered sugar, but regular sugar. About that fineness. So let's grind it up here. It does make a wee bit of noise. And you can hear the change as the grounds have run out. Now we're ground. The espresso machine has a device that fits in it called a portafilter. It sort of is a big round brass thing you could hit somebody over the head with a handle on it. And the water runs through there and out into the espresso cup. And in that portafilter is a little round stainless steel basket with very, very tiny holes in the bottom called, oddly enough, a filter basket. And we're going to empty the coffee into that from the grinder by pulling this little handle on the side. This is a professional grinder, and so it's meant to be one pull per shot of espresso. But since I'm only making a small amount, I'm going to count a number of times just so I make sure I get all the grounds out of the hopper. There we go. Now we take the filter basket very carefully off of the hopper, and the grounds aren't going to be level in there, so I'm going to take my finger and very carefully level them so that they're pretty level on top. And now we're going to move over to a different counter. I'm at the counter next to my sink here now. I'm setting this little filter basket of grounds down, and I'm tapping it just a few times to make sure they settle. Now, what I have in my hand here is a device called a tamper. Remember, I said espresso is made by the pushing of the water under high pressure through the ground coffee. If you didn't tamp the coffee or compact it down, it would offer no resistance and the water would just go squirting through and wouldn't pick up much of the flavor. What we do is we take a tamper. This is a stainless steel tamper, but there are ones made of wood. And it fits very snugly into this little filter basket. And I push down very gently and turn the basket, holding the tamper still with one hand, turn the basket with the other to make sure the top is level. And then you push down with about 30 to 35 pounds of pressure. How do I know how much is 35 pounds of pressure? I don't! So I push down and actually lift 1 foot off the ground. Now, since I weigh, well, a lot, it's probably more than 30 pounds of pressure, but that's okay. It's sufficient. And we turn it 90 degrees and tamp 4 times. And then we, with almost no pressure, rotate the filter basket while holding the tamper still again. And that gives us what's called the finish, or the polish. Now I'm going to take this over to the espresso machine, which is hot. You should let your espresso machine warm up. After I have finished doing this, we'll go back into the studio and we'll talk for just a few minutes about espresso machines and how you don't have to spend, well, as much as I did. There's the filter basket dropped into this thing called the portafilter, the big heavy brass portafilter. I'm fitting it back into the machine. It sort of goes up into it and then twists slightly. Now I'm going to take a small cup, an espresso size cup actually, and I'm going to put it underneath the spout, make sure with my finger that the espresso will drip into the cup and not onto the table, or in this case into the little catch basin that is provided with the espresso machine, and we will turn the machine on. I want you to listen carefully. You will be able to tell when it comes up to pressure. Right now the machine is just doing what's called a pre-infusion. It's letting a little bit of water drip into the ground espresso. Did you hear it get quiet there? That's the machine under pressure, under load. It is now dribbling espresso into this cup, and I mean it's a dribble. I can stick my, ouch, finger under it and tell that it's just a dribble. It's also a hot dribble because it's about 196 degrees, and that is the ideal temperature to brew espresso at. You want to take about 25 to 30 seconds to brew your espresso. If you get too little in that time, you ground it too fine, and you need to use a little bit coarser grind. If you get too much in that time, you need to grind a little finer so that it takes about 25 seconds. There we go, that's just about right. And you heard it blow its nose there as I turned it off. And we have a cup of espresso. On top of the espresso is something the Italians call crema. No, there's no cream in here. But the process of brewing the espresso seems to produce this really interesting layer on top called crema. And it, if you could see, it sort of looks like cream. It isn't, but it does look like it. It's wonderful stuff. And it sort of is the essence of the espresso. So we're sniffing it, of course, gives you an idea of what you've made. And, well, this smells pretty good. Ah. Good to the last drop. Okay, we have the espresso made. Now we could drink the espresso straight, but let's continue the demonstration here and get fancy. Let's make a cappuccino. Now, in order to do that, you have to have an espresso machine that produces steam. However, almost all espresso machines, even the inexpensive ones, produce steam, because the process of making a cappuccino involves steaming milk, chocolate milk, half and half, or cream. I usually use half and half because I think it produces a nice, thick, rich foam that people really enjoy. So the first thing that we'll do here is to pour ourselves into the little pitcher about 2.5 ounces of half and half. Okay, we've gotten the little espresso pitcher. By the way, you do need a pitcher that's made for making cappuccino. It's metal, and I always put it in the freezer for about 2 minutes before I'm going to make the cappuccino. That way, it doesn't warm up the half and half at all. Now we need just a little more half and half. There Yeah, there we are. That's enough. I use my finger to measure it, but since I'm going to be the one drinking it, having my finger in it is absolutely no problem whatever. Now let's wander over to the machine. I have turned the steam switch on already, so the first thing that we're going to do is give a little blast of steam to heat the steam wand. The steam wand is a little metal pipe that comes out of the side of the espresso machine, and it's got a special nozzle on the end of it. So we'll blow some steam here. Okay, that does two things. It gets the steam wand hot, which we want, and it lets us know that we are up to pressure. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick this pitcher of half and half in all the way so the nozzle is within about a half inch of the bottom, and then I'm going to turn on the steam, and you'll hear it squeal like a jet engine. This is called stretching the milk. Hear that? Now, I'm going to raise it. Hear that intermittent sound? I'm lowering the pitcher, keeping the nozzle right at the surface level. That's what makes foam. And as long as it's making that sound, if you get it too low, you don't hear that sound. If you get it too high, you hear this. You don't want that. You want just a little bit of sound there. Yes, just like that. And you keep lowering the pitcher because the milk is expanding now and making froth. And the froth is going higher in the pitcher. And, of course, we want to keep this nozzle at the surface of the froth, so we keep lowering it. My finger is stuck in about 3/4 of an inch to the top of the pitcher, and now I feel the hot milk on it. So I, again, immerse the nozzle almost down to the bottom for a few seconds, and I turn off the steam and carefully take the pitcher away. And we now have the froth that we need to make the cappuccino. Assembling the cappuccino is simplicity itself. All you do is pour the espresso in a mug and then pour the milk and the froth in on top of it, and bingo, you have a cappuccino. If you want a flavored cappuccino, you add a bit of those flavored syrups that you can buy. You would add those before you pour the hot espresso in the mug. You put the syrup in the mug first, then pour in the espresso, and then pour in the hot milk. Don't stir. The hotness of the liquids will take care of that for you. So, oh yes, and we always want to make sure we turn the steam switch off on the machine so it can come back down from being under high pressure to make the steam. And that is the nuts and bolts part of making espresso. In a few minutes, we'll move back into the studio and make some closing comments.
We're back in the office now. Also, the recording studio storage closet serves many functions. And just a few closing comments. We spend a few minutes making espresso and then turning the espresso into a cappuccino. I'll provide on the email list a list of the ingredients, meaning the items that are needed in order to do this successfully. Important things: fresh coffee beans. Very, very important. Coffee beans age quickly. They oxidize. And it just doesn't taste anywhere near as good if your beans are old. If you have to buy more than a few ounces of beans, and most people do, I buy them 5 pounds at a time, vacuum pack them. I use Italia Food Saver, and I use mason jars, and the little thing you put on the top of the mason jar that sucks a vacuum there. And that does a good job of preserving the beans. I open one jar at a time. That lasts me about 5 or 6 days. And that works really, really well. The machine that I use is an Isomac Zefiro. It is a high-end consumer machine. Some people call it a prosumer machine because it's sort of a melding of a professional and a consumer machine. You don't need one that fancy. You don't need one that high-end. There are good machines made by Rensilio. The Silvia is a good machine. The Gaggia makes some very good machines. And Solus. I started out with a Solus SL70. It's a very simple espresso machine. Does very good work. Has good steam. Has good pressure. Produces good espresso. The technique can only be gotten by practice. The first few shots of espresso that you pull, you'll probably taste and go, bleh, and toss them quickly into the sink. And the first few cappuccinos you try and make with steaming the milk will probably end up being a real problem. I still have the froth run over the top of the pitcher and make a little mess. So I make sure that my steam wand and cappuccino pitcher are held over a little plastic tray that has sides on it so that I don't make a mess on anything but just the plastic tray, because it's easy to wash off. I hope you've enjoyed this little introduction to the joys of espresso and cappuccino. It's a lot of fun. It's an interesting hobby. The nice thing about it, as with any culinary hobby, is that you can taste the results. And the results, after a little bit of practice, and not really all that much either, are absolutely marvelous. And you can save, I mean, if you like Starbucks, for example, I do not. I think they over-roast their coffee. But if you like them, you can save a great deal of money by making your own espressos and cappuccinos. Figure that a cappuccino might cost you 25 cents to make. And that's if you're using the best and generally expensive ingredients. Still only cost you 25, maybe 27 cents to make one. I don't think you can get one from Starbucks for 25 or 27 cents, especially if you consider the time and transportation, etc., etc., etc. Well, I believe that's enough for now. I wish you all a very pleasant day and good taste.
The Scarlet Wombat has been brought to you by The Ram and Hammer, Pub Recording Studio, and Chocolate Lingerie Shop. And we would like to give special thanks to Magnatunes.com for providing the theme music for the podcast, royalty-free. We very, very much appreciate that.